Oh Lord, make us humble. Let us open our arms and receive you, to receive your spirit and your presence, Lord. May you smile upon us, and may we do everything to smile back. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And now if everyone could stand for the reading of the scripture.
We're going to be reading from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And we'll read it out loud together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is from the NIV. But there is also a reason why I have this, several reasons why this is our opening scripture. And you can go ahead and be seated, but I met with a pastor friend of mine for several hours earlier this week. And personally, she's going through many challenges, and also her church. In fact, they are having a reopening today. So I told her we would be lifting her up in prayer and their church. It's Divinely Inspired Ministries. It's international. She has a church in South Tucson, but she has, at 3 o'clock in the morning, she Skypes to Liberia and Nigeria, some thousands of members there. But challenges she's been facing. And I said, Lord, you know, we need to lift her up. And so I told her, we will be lifting you up as you are reopening your church after these, because the Lord knows the plans that he has for her mm-hmm. and that church. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Plans to give hope and a future. And not only her church, but the churches here, I thought, Lord, we need to pray for the churches that are, we know that there are some churches facing some challenges here. So I want us to lift them up. So would you join me in prayer? I will be saying the names and then specifically, and I would appreciate it if you would join me in prayer. But I need my glasses. Heavenly Father, we lift up Dr. Teresa Buckner. She is an awesome pastor, and her heart is for you and to be obedient to you and to help others to know and grow in you. So I ask and pray that you pour your blessings upon the reopening of their church today, Divinely Inspired Ministries. I pray that you will continue to move in her, the work that she's doing for you, Lord God, that you will be glorified and continuing to touch the lives, those here in South Tucson, but also those lives that are touched through her ministry work, Skyped, and Liberia and Nigeria. Lord, I ask and pray that you would just continue to bring healing and ministering to Dr. Teresa yes. Buckner and the family. Lord, I ask and pray that you will also be with these different churches. And I lift up to you, Lord God, Catalina Lutheran Church and Reverend Michael Morehouse. I lift up to you Community Church of Saddlebrook, Pastor Ron Gannett. I lift up to you First Baptist Church of Catalina, Pastor Dr. James Dixon. I lift up to you Life Point Church, Pastor Jim Phillips. I lift up to you Mountain Shadows Presbyterian Church, Pastor Rachel Scrubus. I lift up to you Mountain View Assembly of God, yes. Pastor Jerry Truern. I lift up to you Open Door Baptist Church, Pastor Kurt Kramer. I lift up to you, Lord God, Santa Catalina Catholic Church, and their pastor, their priest, is Larry Sanders. I lift up to you, Lord God, also Vista de la Montana United Methodist Church, Pastor Dave Patterson. Lord, I lift up to, and of course our church, Pathway of Hope. Lord, I lift up to you each and every one of these churches, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask and pray that you will just move in their church services today, that you will help whoever shares the message for it to be truth, to you, that they will be your surrendered vessels, your instruments, that the worship, any prayer, any part of the service will be surrendered to you, that you will be Lord and Master over that service, and that your Holy Spirit will flow into that church and move among that church in a mighty way. Lives that need to be healed and ministered to, that you will heal and minister to those lives, Lord. I pray that you will just draw many unto the churches as we are filled to speak and preach and teach your truth, Lord God, no compromising, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, welcoming you in every part, that you will be Lord and Master over every part of the services, and that all of us will be surrendered to your will, your way, your timing. May you be glorified, Lord God. Totally and completely glorified in Catalina and throughout all of Tucson and the surrounding areas, Pima County, Pinal County, all of the state of Arizona and throughout the United States and the world. Lord, may you be glorified, for you are our hope. You are our strength.
Yes.
You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and may we look to you, and may we be a light, all of us fellow believers in Christ, followers of Christ, may we be a light for you wherever we are. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that the Lord led you to do that this morning, just to pray hope over them, and that there is a future for the body of Christ, and how exciting that we are part of that body of Christ, even though we meet here or another body meets there or there. And like you said, even that one church Skypes all the way to Africa, that they are the body of Christ also. Can we stand? Our first song is just that we're going to give our heart to him this morning. And whatever you have brought in your heart this morning, if you've brought joy in your heart, praise the Lord. If you've brought tiredness in your heart, if you've brought expectancy in your heart this morning, whatever it is, we're just going to give it to him this morning.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give. Every moment.
Stay in an attitude of worship, though. But you may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to continue to worship the Lord with the offering time. And I want you to still have a heart of worship today. Have a heart of thanks and have a heart of hope. Hallelujah.
All right. Let's continue, as Pastor Janet said, with this worship. And let's go to the Lord and just show our gratitude. Lord, we thank you so much for providing for us. You are our source for everything. You meet all our needs, and we are honored to be able to give back to you in praise and worship, our tithes and offering. So we ask that you would just bless this service, bless the giving, bless everyone here, in Jesus' name.
Okay, I think we're good, right? We're good, and this is off, and that's good. And I got the earrings off so they won't click. So I don't have Joyce Meyer's sound system, so... Yeah, I know. She used to drive them crazy with her clicking of her earrings with the mic. But I wanted to share with you, there is also something, Debbie, it should be that slide, Tucson Unveiling of the Children's Heart Gallery. And it's coming up on, this coming Friday, August 23rd. And it's the Children's Heart Gallery features Arizona children who are free for adoption and want a forever family. It is a community collaboration led by the Arizona Department of Economic Security and Arizona Serve. So I have a few that I printed over here for you, little flyers and stuff, if you're interested in going to that. I just wanted to FYI you on something that I found out from Tucson Ministry. I think it was For Tucson sent it out, I think. Anyways, however I got that announcement, I thought, okay, I will do that. Tucson Ministry Alliance sent it out, yes. And then I want to just make you aware of, that's the slide 71, that there's a Breakdown International is a youth ministry geared towards youth, and they reach the youth with arts and creative arts ways. So they'll use drama, they'll use music, they'll use dancing. And they try to reach the youth and to help them to be morally upright, to be pure, to be the leaders that God's called them to be. They're having an awesome fundraiser on September 15th, and it's $20 to $40 for the tickets. It's going to be at Victory Worship Center in the evening, on a Sunday evening. And you can ask me, if you give me the money, I can go ahead and purchase for you, or you can go online and purchase it, and it shows you that information. It should, I think. No, it doesn't. Okay, not on there. It doesn't on my slide. Maybe on there. I have some little, this doesn't tell about their, but it tells about them, and it tells about Epic. So I kind of created this for you guys to see about that. And then you can go to their website online or on Facebook. Or like I said, you can, you know, give it to me. And I plan on going, and Paul plans on going. And so Dean plans on going. And so so there's several of us going, and then maybe we could, you know, who knows, we can maybe do a carpool. And so, but Michael Jr. is a Christian comedian. And you could go even online and see some of his little clips, and it'll be good. It'll be good time, because remember, healing, laughter is healing too. So it'll be a good cause, and they have two different ways of reaching youth. So they have a public school way that is okay to do, and then they have a routine for Christian venues. But what this one is fundraiser is really for is the Epic team, which is going to be about 14 youth. And so they'll be traveling around within the United States and doing these different skits and stuff. So you'll be able to hopefully see a little bit of that even on that evening. But it is a great cause. So if you, and then of course you could always, you know, help them out without even going if you can't go. You know, the ministry would love to have any help of donations towards that. But I just wanted to share those few things with you. Okay, I was wowed again. I thought, Lord, how can you keep topping yourself? I don't know, but he does. And I'm just so incredibly amazed. On my day off, which is my Sabbath, is Monday,
And usually Mondays I have for my Sabbath. And the Lord was speaking to me. And through movies. Remember I told you, I said, you listen. Have your ears peeled out, because it could be you see a billboard sign, you see a bumper sticker, you happen to read something in a book or an article, or, you know, just different ways. Well, I was watching these movies, and I was flipping through, and I missed the first part. I tend to do that, because I'm just like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sometimes I, you know, take more naps, depending on how exhausted I am. Sometimes I read books. Sometimes I'm into just the Christian channel and just being fed, and sometimes I take things, and I just love that. So it's just whatever. And this time I was happened to find this one movie, and so I started watching it. It was called Run for the Dream, and it was about Gail Devers. Many of you may remember her. I love Olympics. I absolutely love Olympics. And so I remember seeing her in the 1992 Olympics and others, and but I didn't know what a battle she had faced. She was born November 19th, 1966, and her father was a minister. Her mother had been a teacher. Her brother is a bodybuilder. And but this, it talked about Gail Devers battling Graves' disease, and which is a thyroid disease, and still won her first gold medal in the 1992 Summer Olympics. It said it is about the overcoming obstacles to triumph in the race of her life. So I pulled the trailer about this movie, because after I'd watched the movie, and it said, in the trailer it says, she had grace, speed, and agility. She was America's best hope to bring home the gold. Early in her start, her coach says, do you want to win the gold? And she answers, yeah, I want to win the gold. Until she faced the one opponent she couldn't outrun. An inspiring story of an extraordinary woman fighting impossible odds to triumph in the race of her life. The coach says she's a champion. Are we wanting to win the gold, the streets of gold? We're in a race, and our coach says we're a champion. And he knows we are facing some incredible odds. But we are extraordinary, because when we are born again, we no longer have that old sinful man's DNA. In us, we have the DNA of our Lord and Savior, where nothing is impossible with God. So these impossible odds we may be facing, we have an impossible God, and we are extraordinary. While she was in the hospital, with the threat of her feet being amputated, she had gone through treatment, but she wasn't taking the beta blockers in the treatment she was, and so therefore she had some complications. At one point, you know, resisting, because she wanted to run still, and the beta blockers would not allow her to run in the races. And so she, at one point, she's against everybody, you know, just saying, you need to take this. She's in incredible pain, but still going through the chemo treatments and or radiation. And she is then all of a sudden, she's found her husband happens to, he had left her for a while, so I guess I got to backtrack a little bit for that. And so he had happened to come back to the house. I forgot how long he had been gone. They had been separated. And he happened to be led to go back home. She was passed out on the floor. She had been crawling to bed, crawling to the bathroom stuff. She couldn't, her feet were incredibly swollen and in much pain, and they were talking about amputating. Death of a dream she was facing. Well, she was in the hospital room. Her coach was in the room with her, and they show her looking over at the wall at the room, and she says, what do you see? And he looks and he says, you know, well, I see a wall. I mean, maybe a light switch, you know, or something, but I see a wall. She goes, that's not what I see. She goes, I see past the wall, past the buildings, through the streets, and to the track, and I see I'm running. And I win the gold medal. Wow. this movie showed her father was not not super supportive at this point, you know, with some of her decisions. And I mean, he loved her, but, you know, he wasn't supportive. He wanted her to do the whole treatment thing and everything and caring for her. And her mother was trying to make peace between her husband, feeling that obligation, and then her daughter, her heart feeling for that. And it reminded me of us as Christians. God has given each of us a dream. He has given us a purpose. And so he wants us to help one another. But sometimes when you are following that dream, you're not always going to have other Christians supporting you, as the father wasn't totally understanding her method and her ways, continuing to follow the dream that had been given to her by God. It was something that was in her. She loved her own, like, you know, the Chariots of Fire. Remember, he said he just, there was something in him that he loved to run. And God then used him in other ways, but there, he used him for that. He had given him that. And so she had this, and she wasn't giving up no matter what the odds were. And then you have those that are the peacemaker, trying to help those that don't really understand your dream and those that, you know, are supporting you. So we need to be that. God wants us to be that peacemaker and to help. And he wants us to say, you know what, that's your dream, praise God, and I'm going to pray and support you instead of hindering. You may not understand the dream and the way and the path that they are taking to fulfill that God-given dream and purpose. Gail Devers is quoted in a book called Overcoming the Odds by Bill Gutman. And in this quote, it says, keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible to those who believe. I want to take a moment, and I want us to pray, but I want you to hold your word, the precious, holy word of God, if it's an iPhone or an iPad, but hold the precious, holy word of God. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for your truth, for your insight, for your revelation, for the mysteries that you show us as we read your holy word, as we are surrendered to you being Lord and Master over our lives, and the Holy Spirit being our teacher, our guide. For he is our strengthener and our helper, our advocate, our standby. He is the Spirit of truth. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we surrender to you, that we will be given the ears to hear and the eyes to see, that you will be working upon us, showing us, revealing us as we are your disciples, wanting to learn. So we just thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. Spirit of truth, you say that you will teach us all things, that you will remind us of everything that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the word, has told us and spoken. And we thank you and praise you that, as John 16 also talks about, that you will guide us into all the truth. So may we receive what you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your dreams alive. Psalm 119, verse 49 through 50. This reminds me. Keep our dreams alive. Claim this. Remember the word and the promise to your servant, in which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has given me. It has revived me. It has given me life. Understand to achieve anything requires faith. Faith. New King James Version says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The NASB says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The NIV says, faith is being sure of what you or we hope for and certain of what we or you do not see. The Good News Translation says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. The Complete Jewish Bible says, trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. Trusting is in place of the word faith. The New Living Translation says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us that assurance about things we cannot see. And then we have the easy-to-read version. Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, which is on this podium. It is inside. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above and far over all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord God, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, not just one, all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. This shows how we have a God where nothing is impossible. And what we can even think, he can go beyond that. What we can think of the best scenario for what we desire and hope for, he can go beyond that exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask. The King James Version of Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This one is in a picture frame. There's a reason for that I chose that. And I want you to picture what God has for Pathway of Hope. And I want you to picture what God has for you, his son and his daughter, individually and together as a family, a Pathway of Hope in the body of Christ. Overcoming the odds. Understand to achieve anything requires belief in yourself, she mentions. Belief in yourself reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, and Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, for your eyes, Lord God, have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written, all my days that were ordained for me, every single one of the days that were formed for me, when as yet not one of them happened. They were written in his book. Same for Pathway of Hope. He knew the plans of Pathway of Hope. He knew you would be here today. Jeremiah 29:11, once again, as we said in our opening scripture, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. It continues on. Are we seeking him with all of our heart? Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's belief in myself because it's not me. And the Amplified, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So this is where I can have belief in myself, the creator who created me, because I've got his DNA now. Zechariah 4:6, do you remember that one? Many of us know that one. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And it says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we've had that months ago. That was our opening scripture. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. So, belief in myself? Yeah, because my belief is in him who gives me the strength. It is not by me, it is by him who created me. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 goes over the vision part. She says, understand, to achieve anything requires vision. The message part of Proverbs 29:18, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Are we attending to what he reveals? Are we? Are we all doing what he has asked us to do? He has given us a vision. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 in the Amplified, it also talks about the vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end, fulfillment. It will not deceive, and this vision, it will not disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. And it will not be behindhand on its appointed day. It won't be late. It will be in his perfect will, his perfect way, his perfect timing. Yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I will agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes, to your vision. Acts 18:9 says, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, have no fear, but speak and do not keep silent. You need to tell others about your vision. And you need to help have others to be encouraging you and to help you along with your vision. And if you run into somebody that's not really supporting you in your vision, then you pray and ask God, who should you reveal it to, until you run into those who will support you in the vision, the God-given dream that God has given you. And not give up. And not fear, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you when your heart is totally his, because he will strongly support you, because his eyes are looking for those whose hearts are totally surrendered to him. And vision, others may be included in this vision, as we see in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Now, there was in Damascus a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, this disciple is praying, and he says, and he answered, and he says, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and ask at the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying there. God used Ananias with a vision to help another man God had given a vision to, because he tells the Apostle Paul, he goes on to say, well, wait a minute, you know this man, this Saul is the Apostle Paul. Well, at that time, he wasn't the Apostle Paul, but he was Saul, and he was going, he's out to kill the Christians, and you want me to go do what? And he's going, don't worry about it. I gave him a vision. Mm-hmm. And I have already warned him and told him of what the purpose that I have for him, the God-given vision that I've given him. And he knows what trials and tribulations he's going to face because of this. But I need you to go there. I need you to pray over him. He already knows who you are because I've given him a vision that you are going to go there and you're going to pray for him and you're going to be praying for him and the eyesight's going to be come back. Scales are going to fall off and he is going to see. So God may use one of us to support the vision of another. This is our God. Understand, to achieve anything requires faith, belief in yourself, vision, and hard work. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work, your task, heartily, as for the Lord, as to him, rather than for men. Everything that you do is as if unto the Lord, to glorify him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So keep your dreams alive. Understand, to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, and number 6, determination. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, the Lord God Almighty. We are constantly ambitious and strive earnestly to be pleasing to him. And Galatians 6, 9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. While doing good, or while doing right, for in due season, in due time, and at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not give up. So work hard. Determination. Be determined not to give up. Psalm 27:14. Wait for and hope for and expect the Lord to be strong and also, and then be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. You will be strong in him because you are waiting for him. He is the one that will strengthen you. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. And dedication. Keep your dreams alive. Understand, to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. The 7th one that she mentions. Dedication. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. For every act of obedience is worship unto the Lord. Wow. Yes. Keep your dreams alive. Understand, to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible to those who believe. Jesus says that in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. All things are possible to those who believe. Well, I also watched another movie, and I'll share a little bit of the insight that the Lord gave me from that. And it was a clean Western. Paul was cracking up. It was like John Denver days, and it was really a cute, clean Western. But after that, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And I knew he wanted me to add up John chapter 3, verse 21, and John chapter 6, verse 21. 3 + 2 + 1. That's 6. 6 + 2 + 1. That's 9. John 3:21, the key, 15. John 3:21, plus John 3:6:21. I knew that this was a key. And he told me this was a key. And I go, wow. So I knew I had to look up 15. Remember, the Lord gave us a word in the beginning of this year to Pathway of Hope. He said, receive. And then he gave us John 3:21. And John 3:21 says, but he who does the truth, who practices truth, who does what is true, comes out into the light, so that his deeds, his works, what he did, may be clearly seen, may be plainly shown to be what they are, that they have been done, that they have been wrought in God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him, and in obedience to God. Watch what God's going to do and receive it. Because we got his DNA. We got the authority of Jesus. The power of his blood covering us. And we are no longer that old sinner. We are empowered. We are joint heirs with Christ. So we are receiving that. Plus, I remember Leanne on that prayer walk on of the schools. Leanne shared with us that she tutors some children. And there was a Muslim boy that she's tutoring. And she was sharing how what church she goes to, and it has this big blue lit up cross at nighttime. And he goes, oh, the T, the big T, that's a neat letter. That is so bright out there. And I go, yeah, the big T for the big G. I mean, I was like, Lord, thank you. So God is asking us to have John 3:21 to receive it. Plus the big T for the big G, adding that to John 6:21, which he gave us last week. And remember, was that deep or what? What God had for us in John 6:21. I was floored that week. John 6:21. Then they willingly and gladly received him in the boat, in the ship, and immediately at once, and the next thing they knew, the boat was at the land where they were going, where they had steered toward. They were at their destination. They reached the shore toward which they had been slowly making their way. Sometimes does it seem like your dream is slowly making its way? Yeah, sometimes it does. Many obstacles. But the Lord is saying, receive John 3:21 plus the big T, John 6:21. And he says, that adds 15. And then I knew that I had to look up the biblical meaning for 15. The meaning of the number 15, it says 15 being a multiple of 5 partakes of the importance of that number, also of the number 3, which with which it is combined, 3 times 5. 5 is, as we have seen, the number of grace, and this is a study, you know, so they've already studied number 5. And then 3 is the number of divine perfection. 15 therefore specifically refers to acts wrought by the energy of divine grace. John 3:21, these deeds will be seen. They will be clearly and plainly show that they have been done, that they are wrought, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him, and in obedience to God. Deity is seen in it. For the two Hebrew letters which express it are Y, Yod, 10, and H, He, 5. These spell the ineffable name of Hayah, which is the fountain of all grace. 15 being 8 plus 7 as well as 3 times 5, it may also include a reference to the resurrection as being a special mark of energy of divine grace issuing in glory. We are walking in that resurrection power. We have that because Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And we partake of the Lord's Supper and the communion, reminding us of what Jesus did for us, but reminding that he is coming again. And we are operating in that resurrection power. So the Lord is saying, get ready. My divine grace is about to hit you in a way that you have never seen before.
Amen.
The glory is coming in a way that will empower you to fulfill the dream and the purpose that he has given you, and collectively at Pathway of Hope, and collectively of the body of Christ for the last harvest. He is saying, my son is coming soon, so get ready to receive John 3:21 and John 6:21 together, my divine grace, the power of my resurrection. We've seen that in the ark. The ark was born by the flood 15 cubits upward. You see the 15. Hezekiah's reprieve from death was 15 years. The Jews were delivered from death under Esther on the 15th day of the month. We see the power of the resurrection, the 15. I was looking up divine and grace in the Easy English Bible Dictionary. Don't worry, I'll go to the Noah Webster's too. Divine in the Easy English Bible Dictionary says things that are of or from God, of God or like God, holy. Grace is a gift of God that we cannot buy. He gives it because he loves us. A gift of God that we should not get because of the bad things that we have done in our past, but the blood covers us. And this is the empowering of his grace. And he has planted a purpose for each one of us, a vision, a dream for each one of us, along with Pathway of Hope. And he is giving us that divine, empowered grace to continue on with that resurrection power. A gift of God that we should not give because of the bad things that we have. But it also says what God gives because he is so kind to us, the help and the safekeeping of God. Do you remember Isaiah 62, what God told us? And he said that we will be a refuge. We will be what people want to come to because they see the power of God's hand and the power of his protection on this church, on the body that is here. He has a plan and a purpose for Pathway of Hope, and that plan and the purpose is now we have a new name, and it is called We Are a House of God. We are a Healings and Salvation Center. So we are going to be moving in that more and more and more because it is here.
Yes.
Grace, help that God gives us and gives us help. This help is a free gift to each and every one of us. We can't buy it. God gives it to us because he loves us and because he loves each of us individually and together as a body, the church, Pathway of Hope, but also together as the body of Christ, because Pathway of Hope is not just Pathway of Hope focused. It is the body of Christ focused. We are going to impact this community. We are going to impact this city. We are going to impact Pima County. We are going to impact Pinal County. We are going to impact the state, we are going to impact the United States, and we are going to impact the world. So God has a huge plan and a purpose for Pathway of Hope. A gift, grace also, a gift of God that we do not deserve and cannot earn, what God gives because he is generous. The help and protection coming from God. Once again, reiterated, this is our God. Noah Webster's 1828. I told you I'd have to get there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Divine. Okay. Divine is godlike, heavenly, excellent in the highest degree, extraordinary. There's that word again. Apparently above what is human. In this application, the word admits of comparison as a divine invention, a divine genius, the divinest mind. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. And I will answer you. And I will show, I will reveal, I will relate to you, I will transmit to you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Amen.
How did Noah build the ark? God revealed to him. Just as in the dark times, God will reveal to us what we are to do individually and corporately. I am excited, to say the least. Grace. Grace. Favor, goodwill, kindness. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. We see that in John chapter 4 and John 7, 37 and 38, where the Lord Jesus refers to him, that he is the living water, where man will thirst no more, and springs of living water will flow up out of his heart, out of his belly. The Holy Spirit, once again, referring to that. Favorable influence of God is the third definition. Divine influence, or the influence of the Spirit. Do you see that that's right after the second definition, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him, because we receive it through Jesus Christ, from our Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit. In renewing the heart and restraining from sin, this is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power, my strength is made perfected in weakness. So if you think, well, I can't do it, I've got Graves' disease, God's saying, I gave you that vision and that dream. That may be an impossible odd or an obstacle that you cannot seem to overcome. But with me, because you're extraordinary, you can overcome it. And you can reach that. And you can run the race that I've called you to run. And you can get that gold medal that I've called you to receive. Because this is for you. Spiritual instruction, improvement, and edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. So we need to be an Ananias. And we need to encourage others to fulfill the vision, the purpose God has called them to. Ephesians chapter 3, as I told you before. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is the New King James Version. The other one was the NIV. The Message I absolutely love too, because it says God, it says it kind of in plain English, God can do anything. You know, for far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. See, as we are obedient to him, that is when he will empower us by his divine, abundant grace to be able to continue to do what he has called us to do. He does it not by pushing us around, but working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. He won't force us. Just as salvation is a free gift for us to receive. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah and Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. That is how it is. Isn't that like cool? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, the certain of what we do not see. Faith makes us certain of realities we do not see. Now, faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Keep that in mind. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The other movie that I mentioned earlier, it was called The Legend of the Golden Gun. And it shows a younger man, and it's a movie about a younger man fighting for justice, and he is given the name, eventually called the Golden Gun. But before he's given this name, he's in town, and this is where I came into the movie, so I had missed quite a bit of this movie. And he's in town, and And this man is talking to him, and he has his son in the wagon, and he's going to be moving because there's some very bad people that have been doing a lot of damage around. And in fact, his parents were killed by these bad, this group, one man being in particular a leader. And so this father looks to the young, his son, and he says, after he's leaving, he goes, there's something about this man. He's going to be someone. He's special. God says that we're special, each one of us. And he says, you're going to be someone. Because you're not only going to be someone, you are someone when Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He's saying, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. He's saying, your name has been given. You've been given a new name. In this movie, it says he is told by a man who's teaching him. It says it's as he's teaching him how to shoot. And because he's going, I want to go after the bad guys. So the Lord's saying, okay, I know you got an enemy, but I'm going to teach you how to shoot at that enemy. Got the army on him, the armor of God. Got that my name, my son, and all that it has with it. And he's saying, he's going, it is, this teacher says to the young man, it is how you use the gun that counts. How are we using the power and the authority that we have in Jesus' name and the blood that covers us? How are we using the power and the authority of the armor of God that we have? How are we using that gun power that we have that the Lord has given us? And then in this, he's also given a golden plated gun at the end with 7 shots. 7. 7 is the number for completion. He is told, get used to it, be strong, and don't look back. Don't ever look back. We are told in Philippians 3:13 to not look back, but to press forward and to carry on what God has called us to do. Because we've got a 7 gold-plated gun with us. We've got the armor of God. This young woman also afterwards says, do you have to go? He had done a great feat, and that's when he was given the 7-shot gold-plated gun and given the new name, the Golden Gun. So a lady has a picture drawn of him, and he signs it, the Golden Gun. And he writes on it, he said, you know, I'll do the name proud, I promise. And God wants us to be, everything that we do is well-pleasing to him, to glorify him. As he fulfills his promises to us, he will never leave us or forsake us. We can walk strong and courage as he tells him to do as teacher, because we have the teacher, the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus covering us. We have the name of Jesus with us. So we can walk out fully armed with our 7-shot gold gun in our Western out there when we ride out into that yonder in the West. This young woman says, before he's going to ride out into the West and win the West, says, do you have to go? And he answers, it's bigger than me or you. It's what I've got to do with my life. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for each of us. It is bigger than just us. It is for his purpose and for his glory. And he knows exactly who all we are going to have in our sphere of influence and whose lives he wants us to touch with that light that he has given us. Yes. We need to remember it's not all about us. It is about him. This is the 8th year too. Pathway of Hope is coming up in September of the 8th year. September 11th was actually the first time that they met at Coronado K-8, the church plant. And we were, at this time, people were still moving, so in the summer, so we were meeting at homes. So we're at 8 years for Pathway of Hope. 8 plus 7? 15. 7 things that I pointed out to you of this overcoming the odds.
We are in the eighth year at Pathway of Hope. And in this eighth year, God has much new for us to fulfill, for it is here. And what he has for us, it is here. Are you ready to receive 7 plus 8, the big T, 15? Psalm 68 verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." That was the opening scripture of August 4th. And do you remember what it said about load? I'm going to remind you. It was a verb. To lay on a burden, to put on or in something, to be carried, or as much as can be carried, as to load a camel or a horse, to load a cart or a wagon, to load a gun is to charge or to put in a sufficient quantity of power or powder and ball or shot. We have that 7-shot loaded, gold-plated gun because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. To encumber, to lay on, or put in that which is born with pain or difficulty, in a literal sense, as to load the stomach with meat, or in a figurative sense, as to load the mind in memory. We went over that, the transforming of the mind and loading it with him, with the power of his word, and moving in that power of that authority that we have. And then another definition was to bestow or confer or in great abundance to load one with honors. We are going to be, not for us, but for his glory, to bring fame to his name. This is what Pathway of Hope will be. We will be known as the bride of Christ. We will be known as the church ready for his soon coming. We will be known as a church that is powerful. I want you to continue to read Isaiah 62 and look at that sheet that I've given you that has all the names that we are to claim for Pathway of Hope and acclaim individually. This is the power for this community. It's going to be impacted in a way it has never seen before, because in John 19, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." He's saying that what I've accomplished in the scripture, he's saying, take it, receive it. 15, the power, receive the power of 15. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In John 4:34, Jesus says that. That is our will too. Pathway of Hope will fulfill the plan and the purpose, and it will not give up, and it will continue on until Christ returns. I do not see the death of this church as other churches, because we are not going to compromise his word. We are going to preach his truth, and because of that, because our hearts are going to be totally his, we are going to be blessed with the power of John 3:21 plus the big T, the big G, John 6:21, 15. We are going to have that power. Romans 8:16-17 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." And Pathway of Hope has done some suffering, but that's ending. God has blessed us with a group that is filled with love and unity. Not only love and unity for the Lord, but love and unity for one another, and love and unity for this community. Love and unity for this city. Love and unity for this county. Love and unity for the county right next to us. Love and unity for the state. Love and unity for the United States. Love and unity for this world. We are blessed with this love and unity, this heart that comes from God, not from us.
Amen.
Amen. We are that ship. And that ship, remember, it says that one of the descriptions was says through the idea of plunging through the water. And we are plunging through the challenges that are facing not only our lives, but the lives of this community and the lives of others. Amen. We are to flow in him because we are washed by the blood. That is another one, launder clothing. And we not only are washed, but we will help others to receive that washing and that plunging so they can plow through the waters, the troubled waters that they have to go through.
And it also said, if you remember, in the Strong's Exhaustive Greek for the for ship, it says to fill, to imbue, to influence, to supply. We have that seven-shot gold-plated gun, specifically to fulfill time, to accomplish, full to come, to furnish. For my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This comes from him, not for us, but when our hearts are totally and completely his. In a book called Dream, and you will win the world. I just saw this at CCE yesterday when I was there. And this book, Pastor Mark and them are doing the G12 that he talks about at their church, Centro Cristiana Esperanza. And we went there because there was a conference there this past week and refreshing. And the author of this book and his wife, they are co-founders of the International Charismatic Mission in Bogota, Colombia. Is that how you say it? Bogota, Colombia? Bogota, Colombia. Thank you. And it is that right? No? Okay, sorry. Okay, sorry, Bogota, or Bogota, or whatever. Bogota. I know I've heard it before. Bogota, yeah, Colombia. Okay. There we go. And it is a congregation that has grown from a home group of 8 people to over 200,000 members.
Oh, wow.
Dream.
Are we ready for that?
And you will win the world. No, we're not. Not right now. Dream and you will win the world. Dream and you will win the world. Not for us, but for the Lord, for his kingdom. For those souls that will not go to hell, but they'll go to heaven, and they will have that promise of the streets of gold for eternity. That is what we are striving for. It's not about us. And on the back, the evangelist, Luis Palau, who the Lord used to help me to know Jesus, the difference between knowing Jesus and truly repenting of my sins and having him as my Lord and Savior. And he writes, dream and you will win the world. He says, on the back of this book, Dream and You Will Win the World, he says, there is nothing wrong with dreaming when guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus challenged his disciples to have a vision to win the world for the Father. Why are we stressing discipleship? I knew when God appointed me to this church, I had met with Evelyn. I said, if the Lord is leading you to stay here, will you please pray about being the leadership discipleship leader? And I said, because we need a strong discipleship program. I knew for whatever God had, I just knew. And now all of a sudden I'm hearing all this stuff about discipleship, but it was before all of that came that I had that from the Lord. See, but then you're thinking, wow, 200,000. Well, in the book called Sifted, I received this at a convention when God had me be miserable because I was thinking I was moving on, and he was saying, no, I want you to be appointed as a senior pastor. I mean, I didn't know at that time, but I had to go through the process, but he wanted me to consider even that, and I wasn't considering even that. And so I picked up this book, and I have, you know, this is another, I'm a partial book reader. A few books I have read all the way through. But in this partial book reading, I remember reading of this is written mainly sifted by Pastor Wayne Cadero, but it is with Pastor Francis Chan and with Pastor Larry Osborne. Now, this is where I want to go to on page 35 and 37. And there's a section called Heart Work. It's part one. This is several parts. And then in the first chapter where sifting begins, it's called More Than Building, this section. Okay, this little section. And this is where Pastor Larry gives in his insight on this section. It mentions that he is the senior pastor at North Coast Church in Vista, California. He was called to be the senior pastor of a new church plant that was meeting in the cafeteria of a high school in 1980. He had no previous experience as a senior pastor, and on his first Sunday, 127 adults and children gathered for worship. In the weeks, months, and years that followed, attendance declined from that original number. We've experienced that. These tough years were a time of testing
a season of sifting. And looking back, Pastor Larry is aware that God was doing something vital during that time. Unknown to those involved, God was slowly putting together a solid core team that eventually led the North Coast Church into the thriving ministry it is today. It is mentioned in the book that one of the biggest challenges along the way has been making sure that North Coast Church is more than a building. Though North Coast Church has won national acclaim and has been recognized as one of the 10 most influential and innovative churches in America, the focus has always been on bringing the Word of God, the true Word of God, to people and letting Christ change their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church does extensive community outreach, averaging nearly 2 service projects a day per year. Several years back, they closed the church for a weekend and held the largest weekend of service ever recorded by a single church. During a 48-hour span, more than 6,000 members from the North Coast Church fanned across the community to complete nearly 100 service projects. Today, they hold similar events roughly every 18 months. But they concentrated on small groups too, and they concentrated on reaching the community. You have heard my heart, and if you knew my dream, wow. It is big what God's given me to be able to reach this community. When I was studying for my Foursquare pastoral licensing, and I was reading more about the history of the founder of the Sister Amy Semple McPherson, I was going, that's my heart! That's my heart! That's my heart! Paul thought of that! Oh, wow! This! Oh, wow! You know, and I was like, Well, to give you a little background, in 1918, Amy Semple McPherson felt the Lord speaking to her to set up a home base in Los Angeles, California. She was a traveling evangelist where she could raise her children and train missionaries and evangelists. One day, she felt it was time to drive around to find a location. She was, she just felt like, okay, now it was time. And so she felt driving. So she got a realtor and she was driving around. And then she saw this location near Echo Park, downtown LA. And at this time, this was like prime location. And the hustle and bustle of the city and the cable cars and the buses, you know, it was just perfect for people. And the beautiful Echo Park, and it had swans, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. It was just really beautiful. They are redoing it right now, or at least last time when I saw in December. And so it was really a beautiful location. And this property, and she saw that, and she knew, like, in her spirit, that that's where it was supposed to be. And the realtor says, oh, I know who owns that property, and there's no way they're selling. She goes, oh, okay, yeah, uh-huh. And so, you know, basically kind of, you know, I don't know exactly how she said it, but and then a few days later she gets a call. I don't understand this, but the realtor calls and says that they're willing to sell. Like, yeah, well, because that's where the Lord led me, and that's where we're supposed to be, and so, okay. So, anyways, and then, so on June 18th, 1921, she wrote a check for $100 as a down payment on the property across the street from Echo Park, near downtown L.A. And so then, this is, remember I told you, the heart of the media district, you know, prime location. And then, with $5,000 cash, she had some plans drawn up. And she contacted a contractor who told her, sister, you have enough to dig a hole. So she says, dig the hole. And he did. He dug a hole. But 18 months later, it is completed. The opening on January 1st, 1923. $250,000 it took to make this 5,300-seated auditorium of this building for this church. Back in 1923, a woman, nonetheless. And they were going through some tough times, somewhat of a depression, and not the big depression, but it was a depressed time. And debt-free, totally and completely debt-free. free. The value of it at that time, $1.2 million. Obedience to God and the dream that he has. Wow. So, Angela's temple, you can see, and I said, Lord, I'm gonna draw up something. And I started drawing up something, and what I had, and what I wanted, and my dreams to have. And remember, one of the things, I want to have an incredible commissary. I want to have an awesome, I want to have medical and dental help. I want to have awesome, like, a human resources department, a job, you know, placement department, which she had during the Great Depression, and they helped. And then they helped people. They had a food kitchen, and then they had an incredible commissary, not just food and clothing, but then, you know, household items that people needed. And then I want to have, like, even a mechanics where they are spirit-filled and spirit-led, and the Holy Spirit just guides and directs them, and we have people that help with parts and people, because now it's not even where, I mean, men, it's so, the computer thing, it's like, and the special tools and everything, it's hard for men to even work on vehicles anymore. So I want to have the special tools and yet spirit-led and spirit-filled and have the spirit-led and spirit-filled people that have that that discernment, so that those that come in that don't really need the help, they will discern and know. And having the right ways, but to help those who really need help, to not forsake the widows and the orphans, to help those, and to continue to have a bigger outreach to the jails and the prisons. I want to continue that. That is my heart. To help in practical ways, but then for the Lord and with his truth, for them to know him and to receive what he has for them, and they can fulfill the dream and the purpose that God has given them. See, Pathway of Hope, the number 15, is for Catalina. And there is a road. God led us to Catalina for a reason and a purpose. But not only for just Catalina, it is beyond that. It is up and down. It is north, south, east, and west. It is all around. And people will be coming to Pathway of Hope, because it will have the power of 15 with it, with its new name, the power of Isaiah 62, the power of John 3:21, the power of John 6:21. It will have the power of what Jesus has told us to receive, and we will be moving in that power. So my dream, Pathway of Hope. Okay, it looks like Angela's temple. Well, it is. But then you can see that I've added some things. I've added John 3:21, 3:61. I've added the name, the new name up in the sky, a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. That's our banner. I've added even mesquite, and I want you to know, even though I don't like it, saguaro cactus, okay, because I don't like any cactus that has thorns and hurts. Okay, I like trees that don't have thorns and hurt. So, but the cactus are beautiful. There is beautiful cactus. I'm just teasing. But everybody knew that I didn't like the thorns of cactus when God had us move here. And so, I mean, even the mesquite has. So you know, it's just, it was, it, there is, do you see our dream? That's us. And my prayer tower that I want so desperately. 24 hours. See, are you willing to receive? Are you willing to receive? Because it's that dream. It's the dream that's his and his vision. But you have to be willing to receive, because it's based on foundation. It's based on the rock that he has given us. And it is based on the truth of his holy word. So we are receiving Pathway of Hope, the power of 15. We are receiving what he has given us. We will be like the Dream Center. We, as Angela's temple now is, and where it has combined, because remember, on dedicated on the cornerstone is dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism, to help people to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know his truth, and to grow in it. It's to help set the captives free, take off the blinders. Jesus came to heal and take off the blinders, so families will come and receive, and the captives will be set free. And the people will receive the healing. They will be healed. And the power of prayer will be here. And they will have these altar calls like you wouldn't believe. And we will have salvation centers. So it will fulfill what God has called us. Because we are now operating in our new name. It is no longer we will be called. We are called the House of Prayer, Healings, and Salvation Center. So once again, here we are, taking the 15 here in Catalina, Pathway of Hope, down this road. And we are taking it both directions because we can't go through the mountains right now. So we got to go around, okay? You still got to go down Oracle. You got to go around, okay? So, but we are going. And Catalina will be touched. Oral Valley will be touched. Saddlebrook will be touched. Florence will be touched. Orica will be touched. San Manuel will be touched. Dove Mountain will be touched. Marana will be touched. All of Tucson and beyond will be touched. Paul and I have driven miles before to go to the church where God called us to. And for years, until we moved close to it, for years we traveled. To go to a Wednesday night service, it would take an hour and a half to 2 hours with the traffic. About 45 minutes to an hour home. But we were willing. And I know others who have done that. And many others will be willing and will do that. So we have a picture, once again, that was written, drawn from Eric. And when his mother also had something like the Oriental. And I said, oh, well, the Oriental look is like, well, because Amy Semple McPherson, she was an evangelist first. And her first evangelist trip was China, a missionary trip with her husband. And that's where her husband is buried, her first husband. And then she returned back. And the Lord continued on moving in her life and using her in mighty ways. And so I thought, wow, Lord. And Foursquare, this is, she came up with the name, and so that's why those represent Ezekiel, the face of the man, the face of the ox, the face of the lion, and the face of the eagle. And so that is what there's representing, and we've got the angels. Remember, I told you angels are guarding this because they are helping us to fulfill the plan and the purpose because our hearts are pure and loyal to Him. And right now in our building fund, we have $22,951.46. And I'm thinking about $60,000 or so. If we're wanting to rent, I'm just talking about, because this is based on when a couple years ago when we were looking at renting Scarlett's over there. And that's about what we were needing for everything. But see, I also know Pastor Carter Conlon's story before he was the pastor at Times Square Church. And the church that he was at, they bought the building for $1. Now, they had to do some renovation, but they bought the building for $1. So I'm not limiting God on His miraculous power. I mean, that $22,000 may be in order to do some renovation and supply it with some of the equipment and things that we need. But I know that our God has a place for us, a building. See, Psalm 119, verse 49 through 50, it says, "Remember the word and the promise to your servant in which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life." I remind the Lord about His plan and His purpose. The Lord is the one that appointed me as a senior pastor. Not me. The Lord did. I used to think women shouldn't be pastors. And God has done a work with me. And for those that still believe that way, you know, I understand where they're at right now. But all I know is I've got to be like Sister Amy. I have to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. With your spirit, I will agree wholeheartedly to be in your will, to be in your way, to say yes. I couldn't say no. It would be disobedient to His call and His plan and His purpose. And before this, remember, I still have it. It's on the back burner. A Woman of the Truth Ministries, which is the way, the original way that Amy Semple McPherson first started, where it doesn't have a denomination backing it, but it is speaking His truth, helping others to know, believe in, receive, grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. For I will speak His truth and I will not compromise. My faith comes from Him, not from me. And the power of that divine resurrection is what is moving me to continue on. And it's what can move you to continue on in the dream and the vision that He's given you. Mm-hmm. For as Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, but are you willing to receive? God called me, and when he called me, unbeknownst to me, when I was at the Foursquare Convention with Pastor Janet, we took a class called the Pentecostal Dimensions of Spirit-Empowered Preaching. And it had Pastor Jack Hayford, Dr. Lloyd Ogilvy, and Pastor Dr. Kenneth C. Ulmer. And in that, they were asking, who is the shortest, you know, pastor who's done the shortest amount of time, you know, and a sermon message? And Pastor Janet goes, Karen, it had only been a few months. And he goes, I have a special book for you. The Champion in You.
Amen.
Why? Because it wasn't about me, it was about him. And it was because I have his DNA. Miracle worker? Yeah, we have a miracle worker. But do you believe? Do you believe? Because Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Everything. Anything. God's Word translation says, Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. So all we have to have is that mustard seed faith, as Matthew 17:20 says. Because with that mustard seed faith, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. For nothing will be impossible for you. John 11:40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? We are going to see the power of 15 on this church. The glory of God, his divine grace. Thank you. May you be blessed. And we are going to worship, and then I will pray the power of that word and declare it over your lives, proclaiming it as we close. Praise God. Well, when remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Receive with your heart, or if you want, gesturing with your hands to receive this from the Lord. As I claim it for you, as your shepherd, as the pastor that God has appointed for this church, particular church, part of his body of Christ. Lord, I ask and pray for each and every one here. Lord, I am claiming and declaring Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 for each one. May you, Lord God, bless each and every one. May you, Lord God, watch over each and every one. May you, Lord, guard each one and keep each one. May you, Lord, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each and every one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each and every one and give them peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard their hearts and their minds through Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. Lord, for peace is the peace of you that is not like the world that you give. You are our hope. You are our way. You are our life through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we thank you and praise you that we can walk out of here with our 7-shot gold-plated gun. In other words, the power of your precious holy word with the 8 points that were shown to us, because we can defeat all odds as we walk in the hope that comes from you, walking in the purpose and the path that you have for each of us. Individually, pursuing the dreams, the God-given dreams that you have given each of us, the visions that you have given each of us, and corporately as the body of Christ, Pathway of Hope, part of the body of Christ for the world. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.